It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer.
Here we go.
As I'm sure you've gathered, not just listening to Iowa Public Radio, but merely listening to the sounds in your neighborhood, Class 1 and Class 2 fireworks are now legal in the state. Firecrackers, rockets, Roman candles, and the like. Now, the window of their use is from June 1st through July 8th, and then again for a period in December. Remember, though, many cities and towns still have a ban on their use within city limits or have set their own rules on when and where they can be shot off, so make sure you check your city or county laws. Today's show is all about fireworks. Later in the program, we'll hear from a special agent at the state fire marshal's office. We'll hear about the types of fireworks that are legal to everyday consumers and about safety, safety above all. Be safe if you're going to shoot off fireworks. But first, let's focus on the professionals. Around this time of year, more than 4,000 Iowans work as professional pyrotechnicians, setting up, lighting, and then tearing down fireworks displays throughout the state. J&M Displays, a professional fireworks distributor and manufacturer based in Yarmouth, supplies many of the fireworks we'll see lit tonight and tomorrow night around the state. They work planning massive displays around the world all year long. Recently, our producer Lindsay Moon went to shadow Monty Whitlock and his team, Jessica Bergen, Chad Anderson, and Dan Bedell, at a Cedar Rapids Colonels game. Now, when she arrived, Monty and his team were sorting through the fireworks that were part of that night's show, wrapping them in plastic bags to protect them from moisture, but also to eliminate the mess that fireworks make when they're lit. They refer to the fireworks themselves as cakes or repeaters, and were preparing an electronically fired display.
We're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 boxes. 3 of them are much bigger than the other 4. What are in some of these?
Well, they're just what we call repeater cakes, very similar to what consumer fireworks are when you light it once and it goes off several times, only this is on a much larger scale. And the reason why we use these here is because they're self-contained. Like I said, each cake might shoot from 25 to 100 times, but it's a heavier charge. And because of distance regulations, we can't use full-size mortar and shell type fireworks here. So this is a real rapid fire, non-stop, bangity bangity bang show. It goes on for about 8 to 10 minutes, and in those 8 and 10 minutes we'll put up over 2,000 shots.
So everyone who's sitting around here is taking these bundles of cardboard tubes that we're talking about out of a box, connecting them to some wires and putting them in a plastic bag. Can you talk me through what they're doing?
Okay, what they're doing, like I said, it's called breaking the show. Now, as you see this cake here, it's got a long fuse on it. Okay? That would be, if we were hand lighting, we'd pull that safety cap off, we'd light it by hand and retreat. But we're lighting electrically. So we take the long fuse off, and then it has a connector in there, and then we'll take what's called an igniter, and she'll get that out in a minute. And she'll put it down inside that fuse, tie it in, and then that igniter will be set off by an electric charge from the firing panel. We pull off the covering and the foil and stuff because it just makes a mess, you know.
Sure. So once these go off, are there going to be, you have to go then undig all of these and pick them back up?
We'll go in and we'll pull the firing cables. She's putting what we call a squib or igniter in there now. After the show's over, we'll let it cool a little bit, and then we'll go and we'll pull all the cakes out. We'll roll up all the firing cables, pick up all the plastic wire and all the debris, and we're done.
So how many different colors and effects do you have for tonight?
Oh, I try to put every effect that there is in a show. You know, we'll have just straight color balls, then we'll have color balls that explode, then we'll just have straight explosions, then we'll have buzzers, and we'll have spinners, and we'll have rapid-fire cakes. And,
Crazy bees.
No crazy bees. Things are called, like, color cross sets, where a color ball will go up, and it'll break, and then they all break, and they cross over each other. Spinners shoot up, and they... you know, spin, shoot sparks out.
What are the kinds, the effect where it looks like a weeping willow tree? What's that called?
Willow.
Would it be the same where one that shoots up and turns into a star shape would be called a star?
When you have ball shells that break into shapes, like the round shape, those are like called peonies or chrysanthemums. Shells that break and kind of pour out one side or don't have a real hard round break, they're called dahlias. And, you know, there's all different ways to make those. Some will have whistles in them, some won't have whistles. Some will have a colored dahlia, and then it might have a time bomb that goes, you know, boom, 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 and what we call a bottom shot, which is a great big explosion at the end. And you'll see that in Iowa City this year when we do them down there. But these smaller ones aren't quite as elaborate because you just can't jam that much stuff into a one-inch tube.
Okay. So the ones that don't really make a, you can't really see them, but they make a big boom, that's the one you were just describing.
Yeah. A lot of people call them aerial bombs. The industry calls them salutes or maroons. If you have a shell that breaks and booms a lot of times real fast, the Italian name for that is lambetti, meaning lots of little bombs.
Okay, so we're at the point where all of these cakes are wrapped in plastic bags and have squibs or the fuses attached to them. So now you guys are going to dig holes and bury all these.
Yeah, they're going to pair them up, sort out the ones we want to shoot individually, sort out the ones that we want to pair, then we want to mix the colors so we don't get too many. We don't want like three reds in a row. We want a red, a blue, and a green. And then they'll bury them. And once they're buried, then we'll lay out the cables, bring out the slats, and wire everything up to the panel, test it, and if everything's copacetic, shut her down and wait for the end of the game.
So this one's a blue mine, two red stars with white strobes, so we'll need to do, that'll be the first one in that, yes. We'll do some variegated coconut chrysanthemums. We're going to do 8, 8, and then the last row will have, I think it's 7 shots in the last row, so 8 in the first row, 8 in the second row.
Have you ever had a show that you've set up and you haven't been able to light it?
Oh, yeah. I've never had one called for wind, and you can usually, when the sun goes down, the wind will usually go down, but we've had them called for rain. A couple of them up here called for rain. Was up here one night, and they got like 3 inches in 30 minutes, and the water was running through the field, was running through our fireworks, and, you know, lightning banging down and around. Of course, when everything's wired up and all these cables are laying out, that's just like a giant receiver. We had a show several years ago in Omaha. It was a pretty big show. It was a $50,000 show. And it was all set up, ready to go. The pyros went for their supper, and we always leave one guy behind because you got to guard. And while they were gone, a big storm came up. And it hit. A bolt of lightning hit right down in the middle of the finale. It blew the finale completely apart, and the electricity is so powerful it fed back through everything, launched everything, and burned up a $4,000 panel all in a split second.
Have you ever had a big accident in a show?
We have never had a big accident, no. In fact, we've never had an accident or an injury.
Have you ever had a moment where you got scared at a show? Or how, I mean, like, this is a, you say this is a small show, but how, I mean, like, how seriously could you get injured with the stuff you've got sitting over there?
Well, you killed quite easily. There was a company about 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't our company. It was another company down south. And they had come back from a box show like this. Now, we have boxes that are huge, you know. And they brought the boxes back and threw them in a fire. They were burning them. And they were just throwing them in. And one of the boxes had not completely fired out. And there was still a live effect in the box. Well, when the fire got to it, it fired the effect, hit the worker and killed him. Now, the old timers will tell you, and there's a lot of stories here too, that if you're shooting a show, and if you ever take a star internally, like it'll go through you and burn on the inside, they said just sit down and start writing your will, because if the wound doesn't kill you, the blood poisoning will. But I guess I have a lot of things that scare me. like if we're hand firing a show, and sometimes when the shell launches, it doesn't sound right, and it might break low, or it might go over and break on the ground and blow up. And of course, that all those stars come at us, you know, and they're hard. They will penetrate your body, but that's scary. When I hear something that doesn't sound right, you know, instead of going thump thump and kind of just puff. And I think the worst situation I was ever had was in the Mississippi River, where we were shooting on a barge and they were shooting big shells behind us, and one landed on the barge and blew up. And we had nowhere to go, so we just dove in behind the finale and the sand and stuff. That was kind of scary, but nobody got hurt. I mean, we heard it, we knew it wasn't right, so everybody was watching it and experienced, you know, get down.
Yeah. So you know what, I guess you've been around this long enough that you know what all of these are supposed to sound like when they go off.
Yeah.
So what is the feeling for you when you hear one, like the first time, the first one that goes off and you hear it go off and you're like, oh, that's how it's supposed to sound. What's that feel like?
Just feels good. It's going to work. But we've been lucky. We haven't heard anyone, anybody on our cruise. We've never heard a crew member. We've never had an accident and hurt a civilian. And that's in 30 years. So, you know, we're either blessed or due.
Fireworks are now legal in Iowa. People are going to be able to start buying them. What is the difference between what you guys are working with here and what someone could buy in a store?
Well, these are what you call 1.3. That's a United Nations designation of the power of the product. The consumer fireworks that you'll be able to buy over the counter and shoot in Iowa are 1.4. And that designates a smaller amount of powder in that product. Like for a firecracker can only have 50 milligrams or less of flash powder in it.
From your training and from your experience doing this, for people that are going to be going out and buying fireworks in the next few weeks or trying to light stuff off for the 4th of July, if there's like one piece of safety advice or anything that you would try to impart upon a general citizen who's excited about this, what would you tell them?
Follow directions. Lay on ground, light fuse, and get away. Don't hold it in your hand. Don't point it at anybody. And don't give it to children.
How many people are going to be, how many pyrotechs are going to be out, apprentices or people that are licensed, on the 4th of July lighting out fireworks in the state?
Well, J&M Displays has about 20 full-time people in the office. And then we have about 40 to 45 salespeople out across the United States. And we have one even in Hawaii. Then as the season gets closer, we start counting the shooters or the shoot teams. And that will go, pending, up to 3,000, maybe as high as 4,000 employees at that point in time. And then, of course, after the week of the 4th, it all drops way down. But we shoot shows year-round, and we do a lot of winter shows. We have an indoor subsidiary that shoots indoor stuff for ball games or rock concerts and stuff like that. We have, we just brought in, 2 years ago, we brought in lasers. We do laser shows now. And we even have people, believe it or not, from America here, from our company, that go to Hong Kong to shoot their fireworks. There's only 3 people in the world licensed to shoot in Hong Kong, and 2 of them work for us. So a lot of people don't realize little old J&M Displays down by Burlington, Iowa, or Yarmouth, Iowa, spreads clear across the world. We had a shooter in Dubai a couple years ago, and the company doing the show was Ruggeri from France. But our shooter that went over there had specialty equipment, so Ruggeri hired our guy to go over and set up, program, and shoot their show in Dubai. A number of years ago, before Whitney Houston retired, she went on her world tour, her final world tour. It was a month-long tour, and our indoor guys did all her stage pyro. And they went the whole tour with her. And she ended the tour in South Africa. She spent a month there. So our guys, I was supposed to go on that tour. I really wanted to go on that tour, but I couldn't spend just, you know, a month in one spot. And so we had other shooters go down there, and they said it was spectacular.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we're going behind the scenes of a professional fireworks event. Producer Lindsay Moon shadowed a pyrotechnics crew from J&M Displays at a Cedar Rapids Colonels game as they were setting up and lighting off a show. So far this hour, we've been hearing from Monty Whitlock and Dan Bedell. Now, after the fireworks show is all set up, they have to test to make sure all the wires they attach to the fireworks themselves are working properly. Now, all those wires get attached to a large panel of switches that pyrotechs use to fire the display.
Okay, what are we doing right now?
Well, he's going to power up, then he'll go into test mode. Now, all he'll get for a complete circuit is a beep. Why did you not get a beep there?
On the number 7th one, we left that one open because the first 6 shots are still part of the body. Then we have a gap, and then the last 3 shots on that slat are the finale. So we left a gap so that we know when we get there and we hit that one, hey, okay, all right, now we're into the finale. So it's just a way for us to know where we're at in the show.
And when we shoot the show, he'll go down to arm, and then instead of getting beeps, all the complete circuits will light up.
Okay, who gets to be the person pulling the triggers tonight?
Who's shooting them tonight?
I'll probably shoot it tonight.
Is that a thing? Like, who gets to do it? Is that a thing that you guys talk about, or does it not really matter?
Sometimes.
He's big in the fish.
Some people on the crew really like to do it. Others don't want to shoot it, and that's fine. So
you like to watch the fireworks, and you don't want to shoot. First time Dan shot, he would set one off before the other one was done. And he told him it was premature. See? Usually a first-time shooter gets so excited, they push the buttons too soon. So
makes it an 11-minute show go to, like, 6 minutes. During the testing process, if we would have had one that didn't beep and we thought it should have, we'd go disarm the panel, shut everything off so we didn't have power going out there, and then we would go out into the pit and try to figure out what was wrong. You know, maybe one of the connections out wasn't making a good contact to the E-match. So then we'd just kind of troubleshoot it and figure it out and fix it, and then we'd go back and retest. But it all worked the way we were expecting the first time, so we're good to go.
Here we go. Those little sparks that are sizzling up there, we call them dragon eggs, and they're made partially with lead azide. And they burn over 2,000 degrees. So if you get one of them on you, you're burnt. And the smoke is poison. See the yellow and orange?
Yeah.
You don't see a deep orange in a bright yellow like that real often. That's all, folks.
10 minutes, 24 seconds.
Perfect. Good job, Daniel.
So, first shot, middle row. I don't think it went all the way, so hang out for a little bit.
Well, I don't know, heard one whistle out of that one cake, and should have had more than that, so that's probably...
Yeah, that's that cake I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So what do you do if there's one that didn't go off? Like, can you go and bury it, or do you just wait?
Well, we'll give it time, because it could be smoldering, the fuse could be smoldering. And after what somebody deems as a reasonable time of waiting, we'll go in there and take a look and see what happened. And if it just appears like the fire train stopped, Then it has a secondary fuse, and we'll try to start it and shoot the rest of it from the back end. And if that doesn't happen, then we have to treat it as hazardous material and take it back and lock it up in the bunker and then have it taken down to the plant.
Do you worry about it going off while you guys are unburying it?
Ask that guy.
That's why I said I don't think it went all the way. So where everybody's going to stay clear of the pit for a little bit to let it cool down, because there is a potential that that fuse that's in there is smoldering and it might start back up and take off and go again. So we're all going to stay clear of there for a little bit to let it cool down. And then after a little bit, then we'll go ahead in there, only, you know, maybe one or two of us will go in there and check it out to see if it did go off and go from there on what we need to do to remedy the situation. So
last year in Iowa City, after that big finale down there, we let everything cool off. 2 years ago?
Yep.
And Chad's walking across the back of the shoot site, and he yells up to us. He says, he gets up to where the finale was. He says, I'm going to clear the finale. As soon as he stepped up there, 12 shots went right off, right in front of his face. So you never know. It's what we call a hang fire, or a hang fuse. It just smoldered, and then it caught, and boom, it worked normally.
Do you expect one of those with every show, just because of the fire?
We expect everything with every show.
Yeah,
but I mean, if he'd have been looking over those guns and it went, it'd have killed him right on the spot. Because they will go through you. They'll go completely through you. And if they don't go through you, they just rattle around in rib cages and blow you apart.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today on the show, we're talking about fireworks the entire hour. We've been listening to a conversation producer Lindsay Moon had with a crew of pyrotechs at a Cedar Rapids Colonels game while they were setting up and lighting off a fireworks display. Now, the dud that team was talking about just a moment ago ended up being cleared from the firing pit with no problems. It's a good way to remind you that if you're setting off your consumer-grade fireworks, make sure not to pick up any duds until you are sure they are dead. Stay away from them. Now, if you'd like to see pictures of the crew, the setup, and the equipment being used that we've heard about in this last half hour, check out our website, iowapublicradio.org. Lindsay Moon has created a wonderful slideshow of photos that you can find there with a podcast of this show. We'll be right back after the news. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.